And welcome to another episode of the Interpreter's Corner. My name is Enrique Andrade, and I'll be your host. And today I have the honor of interviewing Mr. Oscar Nunez, one of our most prolific freelance interpreters. Oscar, welcome to the show.
Enrique, thank you for having me, and it's a pleasure to be speaking with you today.
Oscar, please tell us where you're from and a little bit about your business, and how are you succeeding as a freelance interpreter?
Well, I'm from Mexico City, and I've been working as a freelance interpreter since 1998. So I've been at this for a bit of a while. I've been working here in Oregon since 2006 as a court-certified interpreter. And around 2008, I started running a small network that is now a company. It's Oregon Certified Interpreters Network. And that's what I do basically day to day. And besides that, I still am a freelancer for the Oregon Judicial Department.
Fantastic. Thank you, Oscar. Oscar, what attracted you to court interpreting?
Well, as you know, because we've talked about this before, I have a background in law. And when I came here to the States, it just made sense to transition into court interpreting. I mostly did corporate interpreting, corporate translations. That was my main gig. But when I came to the U.S., I've always been intrigued with different law systems. So it was something that caught my attention, and it was pretty accessible to actually get into court interpreting here in the state of Oregon.
Now, Oscar, what makes a good interpreter, in your opinion?
Well, you know, there's several things, obviously, but mainly you have to have the skills to interpret, and something very important besides having the skills is having a good command and a good trust of your actual abilities. So as long as you, as an interpreter, fully know how far you can go and you have the confidence to show that, I think that's something really important for an interpreter.
Thank you. Oscar, what are some of the biggest challenges you have encountered both as a freelance and a business owner?
Well, as a freelance interpreter, basically in the beginning was finding work. You know, there's it's a small market, but it's in the same way it's huge. There's a lot of venues we can work at, but actually hooking into those venues can be sometimes difficult. So a lot of networking is involved in getting into that. And in the side of the company, as you know, as many other companies in different fields, I think the hardest part is the human factor. So actually, for us, getting interpreters is always a challenge. Finding real professionals, real reliable interpreters that have been in the market for a while, it's difficult. It's difficult for our agency and for many other agencies that exist nowadays.
What do you think makes it so difficult? Is it the lack of bilingual individuals, or is it something deeper?
Well, when you say bilingual, not every bilingual person can be an interpreter. There's another factor that has to be involved in there to actually jump from just being a bilingual person to be someone that can actually interpret. And a lot of the problem is there's people get disappointed when they start working because they cannot seem to plug in to the actual work. So that, you know, that disappointment leads to people just looking for other types of work. So that's one of the main issues that, you know, when you start out, you have to be in it for the long haul. It's always rough at the beginning, but you eventually do plug in into that market. But if you don't give it enough time, you'll just end up looking elsewhere for stuff, for work, basically.
Mm. Mm. Oscar, in your opinion, what are some of the hardest assignments for interpreters?
Well, hardest assignment, that's a difficult question to answer. One of the most difficult ones are the ones where you cannot hear what you're supposed to be interpreting. But getting to our area of court interpreting, I think the hardest assignments that we have as court certified interpreters, or at least for me, is a witness, expert witness testimony. You have an ample variety of experts coming with vocabulary that's here, there, and everywhere. So it makes it always challenging. And obviously, you need to be prepared always for that. You cannot just jump into something like that. But yeah, for me, definitely expert witness testimony is one of the trickiest ones.
Hmm. What would you suggest for people who are considering getting certified as court interpreters?
Well, my first suggestion would be just go for it. Definitely give it a try. Try to do it. Try to do the test. And obviously, as for anything in life, prepare for it. And by prepare, it's basically practice, practice, practice. And, you know, practice makes perfect. So it's basically what you need to do to get into it, basically, and to be successful. Even after you get certified, after years of working, you still need to practice. You still need to look at yourself, value yourself, your mistakes. You know, it's always changing.
Mm-hmm. Oscar, in your opinion, what was the hardest part about the test?
Well, that's an easy question. So it's for me, it was the pre-test anxiety. You know, is the nerves get to you? I mean, the test is what it is. But always your state of mind coming into things is something that either makes you or breaks you. So for me, it was a pretest anxiety for sure.
Mm. As a successful freelance interpreter, Oscar, what tips do you have for thriving in this business?
Well, I would say definitely network with other interpreters, network with whoever you can, because there's a lot of work. You just got to plug into it. For sure, if you're entering the business, look for clients. Look for agencies to work with. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. I mean, work for company A, for company B, for company C, as many as you can. I mean, don't just settle. And that happens to a lot of us. We, at some point in our careers, we settle to have our work just set with one company. As a court-certified interpreter, obviously the court absorbs a lot of your time. A huge percentage of your time is going to be spent in court. But there are other venues out there that also need certified interpreters. So it's very important for the person, for the interpreter, to go and look for them, just in case, you know, the court will not have your 100% of your hours filled. There's still hours that you're going to have open, and maybe even they're going to be better paid. So definitely just look for work everywhere. I think that's a good advice for anyone.
What sort of equipment should a freelance interpreter invest in for their business?
Well, I would say definitely have some kind of electronic means so you can get a good dictionaries. And if we were talking about, I don't know, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, I would tell you have dictionaries everywhere. And nowadays, definitely have those at home. I love the feel of turning the pages. But when you're out and about, have some electronic means of getting those dictionaries so you can, you know, access them wherever you are. Because, you know, terminology, this is about terminology. And interpreters are not dictionaries. We're interpreters. So we just need to have the tools to be able to successfully do our thing. And definitely have a good set of wireless equipment, transmitter and a receiver that you can have on handy just in case you need them. I mean, it happens. So there's different venues, different places. You never know what's going to pop up. So it's always good to have some wireless equipment with you, for sure.
Especially now that we are having to work in a different reality with social distancing, and nothing helps you to maintain that social distance and still provide a quality service and to use your own equipment. And of course, with your own alcohol wipes to make sure that you disinfect equipment after every use.
Oh, for sure. Nowadays, yeah, definitely. I think it is a must. Yeah, we're living in different times for now, for sure, and we definitely have to take care of ourselves, especially when we're doing on-site assignments on site. I mean, that's a lot of our work, definitely.
Indeed. Oscar, can you make money doing remote interpreting assignments, like on the phone or anywhere else?
Well, you know, I personally, most of the jobs or assignments that I take are on site. With Oregon Certified Interpreters Network, it's a company that's designed for on-site assignments. But getting back to what we were just talking about, nowadays things are turning remote from one day to the next. So, yeah, right now there's just, I would say that for us, 85 or close to 90% of our assignments are done remotely, either on video or over the phone. So right now it's the only way to make money. And for sure that is something that's going to transcend this times. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of changes after this period goes away. And one of those, I think it's going to be remote interpreting. It's going to be more and more.
Mm-hmm. Now, Oscar, our final question here. What is an inspiring message you wish to give to future certified interpreters?
We need certified interpreters. So definitely get out there, take the tests, practice, and there is work out there for everyone. And right now, maybe not that much, but as soon as this is done, there's going to be huge amounts of work. And hopefully everyone's there to help out.
Why, Oscar, thank you very much for taking the time and sharing your thoughts, ideas, and wisdom for future interpreters and to anybody that listens to the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time.
No, sure thing, Enrique. I appreciate you having the trust to talk to me. And it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Oscar. And this has been another episode of the Interpreter's Corner. My name is Enrique Andrade, and we'll talk to you in the next episode.